Maddie! Maddie! Come here! Come on! Podcast is starting!
I'm coming.
What are you even doing in there? Maddie!
Hold on.
All right. Matthew, the podcast is starting. What are you doing in there anyway?
What? Wait, you hit rec?
Yes, I hit rec. We're live for episode 17. What are you doing in that room?
I'm just in here lying down for a minute.
You're napping?
I'm just closing my eyes.
Are you okay?
I just feel kind of down.
Why is that?
My old teacher from middle school died.
I'm so sorry. It's horrible.
I'm not sure what happened exactly that would kill him off. I don't exactly know the details, but apparently he's no longer with us.
That's really not right. Well, come on out and we can talk about it on the pod.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, wow. I know I shouldn't be laughing. You're upset, but your hat is ridiculous.
The fedora is a life bit, as I'm sure you're well aware.
You look like you just got a master's degree in fuckboyology.
For real?
I mean, I realize it's a life bit, but fedoras, they're in a class of their own. If you have any self-respect, you just don't wear a fedora. You've got some serious cojones to rock that look.
I don't know about cojones, but it cheers me up to be so ironic, especially when I'm feeling down.
Still upset about the teach?
I'll get over it. It's just hard to wrap my mind around an old teacher passing away.
Well, maybe if there's some alumni from your school who listen to this, Ep 17 can be a healing experience for them?
There are definitely at least a few kids who went to Thomas Starr King Middle School who listen to Serial and This American Life from time to time, but I don't know. Our podcast is a little out there.
Yeah, but you were in the gifted program, right?
Right. Your point being?
Well, gifted kids have a way of gravitating towards some pretty revolutionary stuff. And up close and personal is nothing to scoff at in that regard.
I suppose that's true. Our approach to comedy smacks of originality.
Yeah, if they were in the gifted and talented education program, I guarantee 90% of them are fans of those timeless creatives, Bo Burnham, Andy Kaufman, Eric Andre, and the like. We got this on lock.
All right, that's true. Well, let's hope Ep 17 helps them mourn.
I know it will. All right. Ready to get into this?
Sure am.
Just one thing, though. Matthew?
Yeah?
The hat's gotta go.
Go! So, Jay, what's new on your end? Catch me up to speed.
Okay, I've pretty much just been chilling at home ever since this damn lockdown started to really pop off.
COVID-19. It's a disease that affects us all, even if you're not literally infected. Even catching wind of this thing is enough to make even the most sociable people suddenly act like hermits in a damn cave.
by the end of this, we'll have beards trailing down to the ground.
Hey, at least that's good for snacking on old crumbs.
Yeah. When we eat meals, the crumbs will get stuck in our beards. Rather than walk to the snack drawer when we're hungry, we can just run our hands through our beards to get some fruit snacks. Or whatever else was on yesterday's menu.
Not a bad silver lining to what is in reality a very dire situation.
Yeah, no, that's true. But no, as I was saying, I've been spending a lot of time at home with Wifey and the Pooch. You know, you have to stay safe. But of course, every so often I have to get up off my lazy ass and head over to the little bodega on the corner to get some fruit snacks and a club soda.
Same here. Except for me, replace the word fruit snacks with pancakes. Specifically, pancakes with abs, aka, well, waffles.
Touche, touche.
So, I'm a little proud of that one, I gotta admit. Anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. So the other day, I was walking to the local bodega, and, I was halfway there, I suddenly fell flat on my face.
Oh no, were you okay?
A bit scraped up, but nothing a little Neosporin couldn't make good as new.
Phew. Well, what happened?
I tripped and lost my balance.
On anything in particular?
Well, you're gonna hate to hear this, but I tripped on COVID face masks that right-leaning Republicans discarded.
I have no words.
Yeah, it's idiotic. There were masks everywhere, all over the ground, and I kept slipping and sliding the whole way there. Like, if you're not going to use a mask and want to endanger the public, fine. But at least throw it in a proper trash receptacle.
Or give it to someone who will actually use it.
Right. It's ridiculous. To make matters worse, apparently my dog liked the masks. A bit too much.
What do you mean?
One word. Humping.
She was humping the masks?
No, but after sniffing them on her walk, she got back home and was humping the upholstery. I guess masks are not the best idea for dogs to sniff.
That's nasty. It's interesting, though. I guess face masks are, I guess, sort of like catnip, but for dogs.
Yep. Apparently so. And it's not exactly a pretty sight.
Still, it's nice to know that if your dog ever deserves a special treat...
Yeah, sure. For like a special occasion, though.
You can just toss her some old masks.
Yeah. It's always good to know about a new tool that we can use to affect animals.
Jay?
Yeah, Maddie?
How do you think snake charmers affect those serpents they're always messing with?
I honestly have no clue. I wish schools focused on giving us more practical knowledge like that. Like, do I really need to know what year Columbus sailed the ocean blue?
In 1492?
Okay, yes. So I have that useless knowledge swimming around in my brain, filling up my memory. When is that information ever going to serve me? I wish schools focused on more practical knowledge, like how to invest or enchant animals.
Snake charming is less useful than it sounds. Most snakes are benign. And if you see a poisonous one, I have a technique that pretty much always works.
Run!
Yep. As fast as your little legs will carry you.
That works, that works. But it would still be nice if schools focused on teaching practical shit.
Definitely. So, do you think snake charmers, like, go to a special school or something?
Probably. Like, the Academy of Snake Charmers has a nice ring to it, right? And the best thing is, they won't even need to give out diplomas.
What is that?
Well, it's pretty easy to spot a snake charmer in everyday life. If you see somebody and they have no bites, they're probably a snake charmer.
That's true. Yeah, like, if you don't engage in snake charming, you're probably going to get a lot of bites in your everyday life. And those things get infected fast.
So the school can save money and trees by not printing out diplomas every year.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus. What the hell was that?
That's my pet dog.
Oh man, that's crazy. She's making quite the racket. Is that normal?
Yeah, I think she's asking for help. I should probably go check on her.
All good. I'll hold the fort here. I promise I won't say anything weird about you into the mic while you're gone.
So that means the opposite of what you just said, right? You're planning on embarrassing me, aren't you?
No! No, not at all!
Better not.
Okay, now that Jay is gone, let me just say he's a really good friend, and I'm glad to have him in my life. As for pet peeves I have about him, there are none. Okay, how else can I occupy this time? Well, I've been reading an interesting biography. Oh, yes, Matthew. That's Jay talking. Matthew, tell me about the biography you've been reading. Oh, thanks, Jay. Well, it's just for school, but it's kind of interesting. It's about the life of, well, I guess all biographies are always about the life of somebody, but yeah, it's about the life of Chris Mulford, who died in 2011. She was a prominent advocate of breastfeeding in the United States and, well, globally. She served on the board of, I believe it was the International Lactation Consultant Association for about 5 years. And she was on the IAC of the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action from 97, pretty much until her stroke in 2011. During her fellowship with WABA, she actually spent several months a year promoting breastfeeding in Penang, which for any geographically illiterate listeners is a state in northwestern Malaysia. Let's just say Malaysia isn't too big on infant formula nowadays. They prefer more natural methods. Though ever since Mulford's 2011 stroke, that trend has been slowly reversing. A lot of working mothers are purchasing formula for its convenience. So?
And the dog got into the masks.
Sorry, man. I can help you clean up the mess later.
Thanks, brother.
No problemo.
So you didn't say anything weird about me, right?
No. Nothing at all.
That means you probably did, huh?
No comment.
No comment should be the title of our comedy album.
Yeah, if we ever get around to finishing it.
Hey, procrastination is part of the creative process.
Famous last words of college students worldwide. Well, until the night before their paper is due.
Oh, come on. Let's not talk about college, shall we?
What's the issue with talking about it? We should be proud of our baccalaureates. I was an A student. Weren't you?
No comment.
That would actually make a good tattoo. Like, imagine someone asks you a question, you can just pull up your sleeve and show them the tattoo that says no comment. You literally wouldn't have to say anything. Like, reading the tattoo, they'd get the picture.
Honestly, though, I've never understood the hype around tattoos. Like, if you want to get one, fine. But what's the point? Needless pain, plus that shit's for life.
Some people like the look, I guess. But yeah, that shit marks you for good, and you also never know if the artist is going to prank you by drawing Tinkerbell on your butt or something.
While lying down in bed at night, it's sometimes fun to let my imagination run loose and imagine a world where tats just don't exist.
Yes to this. Like, suddenly all the tats in the world just go poof.
Yep. Imagine. a hipster rolling up their sleeve to show their tat to someone they're flirting with, and the attractive person goes, okay, so you wanted to show me the mole on your arm?
Mm-hmm. The tattoo artists pacing around their parlor, looking at their inking machines, going, what the hell is this damn thing for?
Gangsters would have no way of knowing who's on which side, and they'd just have to start finding a way to get along with everyone.
Bikers and sailors wouldn't look so intimidating.
Yeah, tattoo-based health complications would fall by the wayside.
Tetanus?
Gone.
Herpes simplex?
Reduced.
Fungal infections?
A thing of the past.
Hepatitis?
Some forms will be reduced.
Staph?
It will be reduced. But it can't be denied that in a world without tats, people will look much the same. Nonetheless, it's fun to imagine.
It is. It's fun to play around with the idea of alternate universes. It kind of feels like we're writing a science fiction novel instead of recording a podcast.
Hey, speaking of podcasts, podcasts usually have guests, don't they?
Why, yes, Jay, they do.
And these guests are usually interesting people?
Yep.
Well, today we have a very interesting guest. His name is Alan.
Alan Resnick, to be precise.
Yep. Born in 86, Resnick is an American comedian, visual artist, and filmmaker based in Baltimore, Maryland. Or at least he used to be based in Baltimore, Maryland.
That's surely something we'll get into during the interview.
Resnick is also a member of the Wham City Arts Collective and founding member of Wham City Comedy.
Welcome to the show, Alan.
That's correct. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, then. Let's see how this interview goes.
It could be really interesting.
Should be fun.
Alan, where are you recording from right now?
Interesting question. I'm actually recording this in my apartment in LA. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day outside. It's not too sunny.
Huh? Beautiful, but not too sunny? That's an oxymoron, if there ever was one.
A lot of people don't know this about me, but I've actually never been one for sunny days. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love sun. I love the sun. But, I don't know, there's something kind of vulgar to me about direct sunlight. I've always preferred a certain slant of light.
That makes sense. Direct sunlight can result in significant glare.
Right.
Direct sunlight, I suppose, it's sort of like when people talk about their dreams. It simply reveals too much. It leaves absolutely nothing to the imagination.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. I do not want to hear my friend's dreams. I actually, and this is interesting about me, I prefer to imagine my friend's dreams. Like the other night, for instance, my friend Ben O'Brien, he was fast asleep, and I actually had the chance to imagine he was having a dream about war.
War? That doesn't sound easy.
Yes and no. I mean, I just think dreams are so interesting. And you know how dreams are. In this particular dream that I imagined for Ben, he was just living his day-to-day life. He was, you know, doing his everyday activities, totally normal, but some part of him, a very real part of him, was conscious that there was a war going on. It's like something you kind of see in your peripheral vision, and then it disappears when you look directly at it, if that makes any sense.
I mean, our country is at war right now, in reality. Like, the war in Afghanistan is the longest in U.S. history. And that is something that's easy for people to forget, somehow.
Yes, absolutely. But I wasn't thinking about Afghanistan when I invented this dream for Ben. But I don't know. I guess I just think there's a lot of truth in dreams.
So you're recording this from your place in LA?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And the thing that's so interesting about that is that the light here has a certain slant to it. It's not direct sunlight.
That is deeply, deliciously ironic. L.A. is often known as the Sunshine City. Alan, didn't you recently move to L.A.?
Yup. Fairly recently. I was living in Baltimore until 2018. It's a great city. To put it into layman's terms, it's the kind of city that Phelps, Edgar Allan Poe, and Jeff Koons call home.
So why'd you move to L.A. then? Baltimore sounds like it's populated by some interesting men.
Eh. Industry stuff.
We understand.
But to be frank, there was part of me that was glad that my professional circumstances obligated me to move to L.A. I was looking for a change.
Yeah, as an artist, it's important to have instability in your life. Every few years, I try to shake things up, severing relationships with people that have gotten too comfortable, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, come on, Matthew. You're doing this whole bad boy thing again? You're a loyal friend. And family? Frankly, family's everything to you.
It's important for me also. I put a lot of emphasis on my aunts and my brothers. You know, that sort of thing. I like to stress the importance of those relationships. And I can't deny, I do enjoy the perks.
So, what's your favorite thing about L.A.?
Favorite thing about L.A.? Favorite thing? You really put me on the spot. What is my favorite thing about L.A.? I would say that probably my favorite thing about L.A. would have to be the weather. Sometimes when I'm lying in one of L.A.'s many municipal parks or walking along a bridge, I open up my eyes. And I mean really open my eyes. And I am quite simply intoxicated.
You got drunk on a bridge? Did you at least pass a bottle to the troll living under it?
Nice reference. No, not literally intoxicated. I don't know. I use weird words sometimes, I guess.
I think I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think I get what you're saying about enjoying the weather.
Yes, thank you so much. I also enjoy this little bodega on my corner. It's not like a big tourist bodega or anything like that. It's kind of hardly worth mentioning, but it has honestly been so nice to literally just step out of my house and pick up whatever essentials I need. Napkins, Progresso. I even see some moms in there buying diapers sometimes. Yeah. There really is something special about my little bodega. And yes, I really do think of it as mine. It just feels like a family there.
That's really nice. Are the owners and regular customers familiar with your work?
No. Not familiar, no. But something kind of cool did happen a few weeks ago. I didn't tell you this before, but there's actually a little TV in the bodega. And it's normally just playing, you know, TV stuff, cable news, ball game, that sort of thing. But one evening I came in there and, yep, Family Guy was on TV. They were watching Adult Swim at my little bodega.
Oh, hell yeah.
I told the owner that I actually created a couple infomercials for Adult Swim. And then I made him watch This House Has People in It on my iPhone using Adult Swim's proprietary application.
That's incredible. Did he enjoy your comedy routines?
Yeah. He actually gave me a very generous discount that night at the bodega. I was just there to buy cigarettes and milk and basically ended up paying what the cigarettes would have cost just by themselves. So, free milk.
Oh. I actually had a similar experience with my Adult Swim show, Dayworld.
That's funny. I did a little bit of work on Dayworld.
I thought you'd remember that. But yeah, soon after it aired, I sent out a link to my alumni page on Facebook groups.
Hold on, are you talking about college alum or HS?
In my opinion, Jay's high school friends were, well, let's just say it, normies.
Okay.
Matthew, you snob. But yeah, I posted the link in my university's alumni group, and the next day, some guy who I took econ with years ago just straight up DM'd me.
He still remembered you?
Yup. And he said he really enjoyed the show, and that, well, he runs these amazing opportunities that present financial opportunities and curated experiences. The opportunities normally put a pretty big dent in the pocketbook, but he said he was down to give me a 10% discount.
I love that. I guess this has a way of working out for the best sometimes.
And to think it all started with a college course. It's weird to me that some people are nostalgic for the glory days of college. If you miss that time period, just hit up some alumni. They'll make time for you, and they'll make you feel right.
It is hilarious that we are talking about college right now, because lately I've been thinking.
Go on.
Well, basically, a couple of years back, I went to SUNY Purchase College, and I studied visual arts there. I actually ended up getting a bachelor's degree for myself.
Right on. By going to college, you were actually upping your game and making some serious moves. And now you actually work as a visual artist.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And a lot of the techniques that I've been using in my art are things that I actually learned back at SUNY Purchase College. And lately I've been thinking that it would be nice if there was just some way that I could give back to my school.
How do you mean?
I just mean I wish that there was some way for me to give back to my school. Just some way to show my gratitude to my alma mater.
Have you tried donating?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I tried, but it went okay, but I'm thinking about more concrete actions I can take to show my gratitude to my alma mater. Like lately, I've been volunteering for SUNY Purchase College.
Is it rewarding?
Oh my, yes. Yes, of course. Oh my god, yes! I am quite taken with volunteer work.
What is it exactly you do for them?
Well, SUNY Purchase College is using a company called ProctorU for their online final exams. You know how everything's so freaking messed up with COVID right now?
Uh-huh.
Well, because everything is so weird with COVID right now, SUNY Purchase College cannot use in-person proctors during their exams anymore. And that's where ProctorU comes into the picture. The company basically authenticates student identities, protects exam content, and detects and prevents cheating. And yeah, I'm pretty much one of the main proctors at this point.
Whoa. So, wait, like, if a kid is taking an exam at Purchase, there's a chance you might be the one verifying their identity and ensuring they don't cheat?
Mm-hmm. There's a very decent chance, yes.
That's awesome. Volunteering for your alma mater was a gamble, but I'm glad it paid off.
Amen to that. In fact, I strongly believe that all college grads should give it a go. Yo, peeps, everyone who's listening to this podcast should aim to do something nice for their school this year.
Because f*** it.
Why not?
Absolutely. And hey, when you've completed the action, hit me up and let me know how it went. You can just send me a DM on Twitter, at Alan Resnick's. That's just at my name, Alan Resnick, with an S at the end because of a typo I made when I signed up for my Twitter account. My DMs are always open.
So, okay, aside from that, are you working on anything else cool that peeps should check out?
Yes, I am. I am working on a video about video codecs that should be coming out soon. I think it might be up some people's alley.
A video about video codecs? That's so meta. I love that about you, Alan. You're really not afraid to, you know, go there.
That's right. And I got the idea to start making meta crap after I watched 30 Rock for the first time. 30 Rock has been a major influence on my artistic practice, on and off screen. 30 Rock, for those who haven't seen it, is essentially a TV show about people who work on a TV show. As crazy as that sounds.
So it's worth checking out?
Are you talking about 30 Rock or my video about video codecs? Well, frankly, I would say check out both if you have time, but they're not for everyone.
What about up close and personal listeners?
Up close and personal listeners are a bit of a different story. They're pretty open-minded. I've actually been talking to a few of them recently, and I have found the experience to be quite thrilling.
Well, this has been thrilling for us. We've really enjoyed talking with you, Alan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this has been plenty of excitement for one day. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sure this will be a real treat for listeners.
And I gotta be honest, I would do this again in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Right on. Well, Just let us know whenever you have some time to kill and we can shoot the
Yeah, but not literally, right?
No.
All right, take care, you guys.
Peace, y'all.